This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And good yawning this morning. Guess what? It is CA Nuri. That means I am in studio, and that means Aaron is on via Zoom. And of course, it is 10 o'clock or a little after 10, and that means it's on the clock. And it's Tuesday, March 28th, 2023. And on the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. And guess what? We have Ricardo McQueen with us. And Ricardo McQueen is a global food safety consultant. And he's here to explain exactly what that is. But without further ado, I'm going to bring in Aaron so you do a little housekeeping. And then we can go in detail what exactly is a global food safety consultant. And what is this acronym SQF? Right? Because I didn't get that. But I'm going to let Mr. McQueen go in detail and explain all of that. But apparently, he has returned home and doing some big business. But anyway, Aaron, how are you there?
Good morning. Good morning this morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Can you hear me? I'm here. Good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry, Aaron. I'm doing some technical things on this side as I speak. But go ahead. We can hear you.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, Nuri. Good morning to Mr. McQueen in studio. Good morning, Bahamas. Yes, it is a pleasure to be with you this morning, even though I have to use magic to join the conversation. I'm glad to be here. There is, I think, very little housekeeping this morning, Mr. Nuri. We're going to kind of get straight into this conversation. It is just one thing I wanted to note in today's Tribune, a statement by Minister of National Security, Mr. Wayne Monroe. And the headline is, "Low Manpower Hindered Response in Bimini Blaze." He said some islands do not have firefighters because there are only a few in the country. I am stunned with all of the sort of engagement I've done over the last 24 hours, looking, you know, details about the fire. What will firemen do if you don't have a fire truck? Mm-hmm. And what will a fire truck do if you don't have roads large enough or communities constructed in a way where fire trucks can easily access homes? I think the problem is far larger than the Minister of National Security can fathom. There are a couple of questions that have arisen. I asked the silly question, if there's an airport in Bimini, why isn't there a working fire truck? And I was told, well, you know, there's two pieces of Bimini. And I thought to myself, well, if there are two pieces of Bimini and you have four fire trucks on North Bimini that are not working, why wouldn't you ensure that there's a bus available to transport the fire truck from South Bimini to North Bimini? Of course, that was a ridiculous question because I believe in magic, you know? Mm-hmm. Obviously, here I am teleporting into the studio. And then I thought, well, how does that affect residents' insurance premiums? And what types of policies are they able to purchase if it is known that they don't have sufficient fire services on the island? And then I thought of another question. Doesn't the major hotel have a fire truck? Doesn't it have some sort of fire service? And if you know that you don't have any fire trucks, and you know you don't have any firemen, and you're relying on a volunteer fire service system, then where are the regular drills? You know, I didn't hear any language from the survivors and the residents who helped with this, with the putting out. I didn't hear any language that suggested that they have regular fire drills for a volunteer fire system where you run hoses or you pass bucket by bucket. And I wonder, what is the Minister of National Security securing? I just needed to throw that out there. Because this is devastating. I mean, it goes beyond disheartening. It's devastating that with all of the resources available to us in this country, we're allowing children to grow up in a culture and in an environment where, well, if your tank's burning down, your tank's burning down. There ain't nothing we could do about it. It just doesn't make sense, Bahamas.
So, Aaron,
I just needed to bring it to the... Mr. Newry, yeah. Quickly. Let's get back into our conversation with Mr. McQueen. Good morning, Mr. McQueen.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good, thank you. Very good, thank you. It's a pleasure to host this little conversation we're about to have. I am a agribusiness consultant, and I am constantly concerned about all things food and food production. And with the growing demands for a focus on eating local, I know that we have a lot of work to do in creating a country or an environment where people can rely on good quality local produce, but not just buying an apple or a mango here or there, but being able to comprise to make a meal, a week of meals, with a large percentage of locally grown food. And so I'm excited to have this conversation this morning. And I know we had a brief introduction, but please introduce yourself for the wide audience.
Have an office in the U.S. and now trying to do something with my own country, my own people. As far as food is concerned, one of the things I shared with quite a number of persons just recently is some years ago, Aaron, I was ordering people, but for the past couple of years now, there are sections and facilities that are just robots. I'm now auditing robots, so it's moving, and it's moving very fast. And the Bahamas has to come and make sure that they can keep up and produce standards that are cutting edge. Food has blossomed into sectors of different categories. For example, some time ago, there would just be like a generalist doctor, and that doctor became so inundated till we have to specialize. Well, that's what is happening to food. So I'm happy to be here, and I'm always excited to share with my Bahamian public.
Aaron, forgive me, Aaron. I see Mr. McQueen mentions food standards, and that intrigued me to Jack, right? Mm-hmm. I know, going to the food store, because I now shop, right? The wife said, you go, COVID. there are some items which says for export only. And I want to know, when you say food standards and your company deals with it, and I am concerned about these food, but I say, man, I'm not sure if I should be eating these for export only. Mm-hmm. And how come this carrot look bigger than a regular carrot supposed to be? Like, what do they put inside this? And I want to understand, is your company gives insight on that?
So with me just coming home, I'm quite sure that there's a lot of areas that we'll need to address. But what I've seen so far is that the Bahamas is heading in the right direction. I'm always happy when I can go into the food store and see the Bahamian flag on products. Now, in terms of export and what happens in the country, I'm myself still trying to dive deeper into that. I'm working with some persons who are involved in the food industry here in this country. So we will see where that take me. But I do see Behemoth products in the shops here, and that's a good sign. The way the industry works with food, particularly in the U.S., is there is state regulations, there's local regulations, and then there's federal. So I've had the opportunity to work at all levels. So I want to work with my country and with my people and see exactly how we could bring our standards to be able to suit the global society.
Hi, this is Shay King. If I can interject here, I think Cecil was talking about there are products in the food store locally that we import that it says for export only. So I think he was speaking to the countries that are exporting these particular products out of their country into our countries that is not able to be sold in their country locally, not necessarily Bahamian products.
So there is some interesting things going on in this country, but I cannot speak to them now. As a public health administrator also, I don't speak without facts. I need to dive deeper. So I'm new. I'm just coming home. I need to find out. Everything that's going on, definitely we will be able to unravel and find out what exactly products, is moving through our country. But there's a lot going on. But I need to dive a little deeper. I'm just coming home. Mm-hmm.
Because one of the issues is a lot of the food we get comes from the States, right? And when you compare the food in the States to the food in Europe, very different. So Cheerios made in the United States has more chemicals, more pesticides in it that are not allowed in Europe. So the food tends to be of a lower quality than we would expect if we were living in Central Europe. And my big concern is really the regulators don't seem to be doing their job in the United States. I know you talked about all these various levels, but if you look at baby food, remember 2021, there was a select subcommittee that looked into baby food basically through a whistleblower that found cadmium, mercury, and some incredible things in baby food. And they came and made some recommendations about mandatory testing, but the Trump administration at the time looked at it and then just moved on. And so you have baby food that has not admissible levels of mercury, cadmium, and other
and Mark, heavy metals. You are.
And it just worries me that this is coming into our country. Are we testing that food? Is there anyone? And that was my question to you. I think there might be an opportunity there for like an independent lab to do this kind of testing to give us comfort, because I also had, now this is hearsay, right? I had from a very good source, right? But again, it's hearsay. I like facts, but she was saying that the meat that's allowed to be imported in this country can be up to 13 years old. Now, mm-hmm. Is that true? I was gobsmacked. I have no evidence of that, but I got it from somebody who I truly respect.
I think Mark, in that aspect, what we find is that it's less about what's allowed to be imported and more about global practices and standards. So what I'm hoping is that as we think about both food security and food sovereignty, right? That the powers that be, and then the people that are interested, like us, NGOs, stakeholders in the industry, not just the people who are growing, but the people who are producing also, that they can see that that we have to take control of the chain, right? From farm to table, from cultivation to consumption, that we have to take control of as much of that as possible for our own food supply chains. Right. And so one of the questions I wanted to ask Mr. McQueen is, are there different standards in terms of food safety and quality? Are there different standards generally across the developed world for locally produced food and imported food? Right. So like if you were to set up a company here, I'm a local grower and I'm competing with imported growers. Right. Do I have to, as a local grower, do I have to produce the perfect fruit? As a local producer, do I have to have the same number of preservatives in my product? And then as a local producer, tell me, what's the value of spending the money on the labeling, right? If hey, local people could always call me and find out what's in my product.
So, Erin, the way it works, and what I can present to you this morning is facts. And I, you know, as I said earlier, I only deal with facts. Fact is that if you go into the food store, there is a logo that's called SQF. That's there. A lot of folks are not familiar with it. It's called Safe Quality Foods. SQF is the global standards for North America and Latin America. Using agency also called BRC. So when you go into the food store to purchase your food, because a lot of what's happening with the food, it's happening because we allow it, the consumers. If the consumers stop buying the poor grade and poor quality foods, then it will put those persons out of business. So that's one way we need to look at it. As long as they get business, they're going to keep producing. If we say that we're going to talk and make noise with our government in terms of what we bring into the country, it is the people who have to do that. We have to make the changes. So as far as global standards are concerned, that's what I'm at. I'm at an SQF global standard. So federal and then on top of federal will be the global standard. So when SQF come into play, it means that in that facility where that food is being manufactured, stringent requirements are adhered to. Of course, whenever there's that kind of situation, the cost is going to be a little more. But I always tell people your health is your wealth and you can't put a price. When I come home in Bahamas, I do not eat products of America. I go into the food store. I go somewhere down in the. I was excited to be home. I love our products. And I don't want the link from America in my home when I come here. I look for our products. Local is always better. And the transition of food from its beginning place to when it gets to this country, all of these things can affect the quality and can introduce certain hazards into the food. So you can look at how far food come to get here. And because of globalization, the whole world is opening up. But you got to know, you got to educate yourself. SQF is on the label. Now, there are some foods that don't have the SQF standards on it. That doesn't mean that the facility is not SQF standard. And the food manufacturing requirement is that if you want to have the logo on your brand, then it's up to you. SQF is safe quality foods. If you have a food that's coming from America that's from a USDA facility, that means that a USDA inspector is in that facility, has an office there, has a car spot there, and is inspecting that food before it leaves the facility. All I know is what is facts. A lot of things is going on with food, but we have to be intelligent consumers. We have to do the work ourselves. One of the things that I've learned over the years, even in having a degree in public health, is that you got to realize that you have to be able to take your health into your own hands. And what I mean when I say that, you have to educate yourself. You got to look up, you got to look and read and search out for information that's going to make sure that you are protecting you and your family. Now, what the government do, the government do. Okay, and I'm not sure what exactly is happening in this country. I'm just home. I'm just now engaging myself into some of the issues here in the Bahamas. But I'm ready to take it on at full force as much as I can help and work with my government and my people. I'm here. But I only deal with facts. I know facts are that SQF is safe quality food. That particular facility is going to rigid and really strict compliance.
And Erin, I'll interject here again. And I want to understand, Mr. McQueen, how does your company, food environmental safety, benefit the consumers here? I want to basically walk me through and say, okay, I see it now. I see it. I am on board. I'm on board with it. So just do that. Walk me through that.
So food environmental safety, we can help individuals who's in the food industry from the farmer straight up to the biggest manufacturing facility that we have in this country. And what I've seen here is that we talked a little bit about this on another show that I was on. It talked about individuals who, you know, making food at home and selling it in the public, and that's their bread and butter. That's how they make a living. And one of the things I would say to those individuals is that come into our establishment and let's just start with getting your nutritional levels done.
Okay, so you'll be doing nutritional levels.
Yes, okay. Ingredient statement. I talked a little bit about Florida just passed a cottage food law where folks who bake goods like mama's pies and breads, we didn't want to, you know, shut those businesses down. We want to work with them. So what Florida did is they came up with a cottage food law where they're about to sell those products. But as long as they put a label on it with the ingredients and the product is named, why baked goods? The risk is very low. And Aaron, when you talk about food, the way we manufacture food in the global aspect is that it's all based on risk. There's low, medium, and high risk. And that's how we are able to assess exactly what type of requirements are going to adhere to in those facilities. Low risk will be something like a bakery. Bakery is low risk. Why? Because those products go through extreme heat, and that tends to kill a lot of the bacterial content. So we got to look at the risks. And I always tell folks, you know, for example, food is left out. And someone says, wow, this food has been out for such a long time, we got to get rid of it. I says, no, check the temperature. You never look at the time without the temperature. You got to check the temperature of the food. How long has it been sitting there? The law says if it's been sitting in the wrong environment for more than 4 hours, you must discard. But if it's been an hour or two, you just reintroduce it into a suitable environment. So I think education is going to play a key component with our Bohemian populace. We got to educate them because we be talking a lot of stuff, but it's not scientifically proven and it's not factual scientifically. So that's what I want to do with food health and environmental safety. Let's start to educate. Let's start to get these folks who are selling these products come in. Let's do a nutritional. Let me do a testing on your product. Let's get the labels on the product. It's a start. We are a private entity, but I'm certain that the government has the agencies to do these things. But there is, in terms of food, food has grown massive, massive over the years. In fact, the way food works now is that every single food product has been given a food code. If you're baking in the industry, you've got a code 13. If you're in dairy, it's another code. That's how we address food. We address it based on the hazards that might be presented and based on the type of food that you're manufacturing. And so what I've seen since I came home is that you have to say, but it's not scientifically sound. We need to educate.
And so, Ricardo, thank you so much for that. So how the relationship connected with Ricardo McQueen and myself was, I, after doing my research and started manufacturing my products locally, I decided I needed to engage a global consultant because I wanted my manufacturing business to go throughout the world. And what I recognized in my research was, just like Ricardo started to explain, there were different standards depending on which country it was going to. And so I realized and recognized this was a little bit over of what I do as a nutritionist. And so that's why I was able to connect with his company to help me to adhere to all of the standards globally in order to get my products to ship out. Because even as a Bahamian, while we may have some standards in place, our standards are not necessarily for us to be able to take our products to the next level, which is to export globally. And so that's why I was able to connect with Ricardo to make sure that my products were tested. They had tested. My facility was engaged to make sure that I was doing what I needed to do to run the facility. And so the goal is, even though here locally in the Bahamas, we are a people that are making and creating a lot of our own products, we're not necessarily bringing them up to the standard for them to be shipped out of our country like Cecil talked earlier about that export label of exporting only.
Because I remember Tim, who used to work at Lucayan Tropical, he said when they were trying to sell their cucumbers to Florida, they had to go through an incredible process. A consultant came in. It cost a lot of money. They had to write a whole procedural manual.
Yes, it's a very rigorous process.
Yeah, and so... So you I guess you're going through the same thing.
I'm in the process right now. Yeah.
So once she goes, and here's the thing now, I said to quite a number of persons since I got home, Jamaica has gotten the only certification body in the Caribbean. Wow. So you see what's going to happen now. The way Jamaica got that certification is they had to find someone like myself who was from the Caribbean and had the credentials. Now, they went through a rigorous process. So who's the certification body? The certification body is the individual auditor to your facility. And once you pass that inspection, then that certification body holds your license. If there's anything,
I want to say, thank you for that. This is definitely one of the missing components in our local production space. But I'm going to be a little selfish right now because I really appreciate the journey that Shea King is on in terms of making her products exportable, right? I'm very focused on the local side of it, not to take away from anything on, you know, the exporting side. I'm sure we got calls right now with people, they want to know that. I just want to ask you quickly, do you provide certified organic certification?
So the organic certification works like this. Once an individual reached out to my company and said they would like to be organically certified, there's a next body, a different set of certification. So that's how the food whole industry is set up. There's different particular elements, different particular requirements. And so once you reach out to us, we can get you organically certified to another company that we partner with in America. So
another question.
Go ahead.
For the average Bahamian farmer, medium, you know, small to medium scale on the global level, is organic certification worth it?
Well, the one thing with organic certification is that the product costs. So you definitely have to run the numbers. There has to be a need for it because you pay a little more for organic food. So if anyone's wanting to become organically certified, I would ask them to make sure that they run the numbers and do their due diligence, make sure that the numbers make sense to them. So if you're going to sell organic food in the Bahamas, what kind of volume are you going to get? So your question is going to be, how do I get that organic product to the world? And that's where we come in. So we will take you through all of the requirements. SQF go everywhere in the world. So that's the highest standards, you see? So the whole thing is based on the monetary means which the consumer or the production persons are going to make from something such as this. I don't know necessarily that we have a strong market for it. It seems like it's just one area of the island from what I've seen. But, you know, it makes sense to the businessman if it's going to make sense to his bottom dollar.
It looks like we have a telephone call here, so I'm going to try get that if I'm lucky. Hello, caller, can you hear me?
Hello?
Go ahead. Turn down your radio for me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I call it Edith Stark in a Voice, along with your panel, Aaron, and of course, Nui.
Good morning, Greenman.
We need justice, yes, law and order in this country. Now, my question is, right, first I want to ask you, organic stuff entails fertilizers and also, what I want to say is that I understood that using human remains, when I say remains, they say dead people, right? They turn that into fertilizer for plants, for food. Now, give me some information on that, and would you call that organically grown? Okay,
Bremen.
You understand the question?
Okay, thanks very much, Bremen. I appreciate it. We can have them respond right now.
So, Raymond, I cannot speak to that. I have no information on that. The way that a facility becomes organically certified is their particular bodies. And once we connect you with them, they're going to send their auditor in, and they're going to grant that license.
But I understand your business, what you're doing, because I produce pepper sauce, and then I had a production person here recently telling me the best standards to be done, and I asked, what about the listing of the ingredients on my label? And she said, there's no one here in the Bahamas that does that. And it seems as if you're coming home now to be able to to fulfill this gap.
Yes.
And so now I'm understanding what it is that you'll be doing. Because I have a friend now who's selling her pepper sauce to the cruise ships. And she had to send abroad to get her pepper sauce analyzed to say how much this inside it, what all the sodiums inside it, what all the allergies and whatever it is.
That's exactly what we do.
So that's why I'm trying to understand. It seems that you now fill in a niche that...
is that there's a software for that, but the software must be registered with the FDA. So a lot of folks are doing this stuff at home. But the software has to be registered with the FDA.
So, Mr. McQueen,
Eric?
Is that only for sale in the U.S. that the software has to be registered with the FDA?
Well, who are going to be your regulators? You say if you're selling your product globally, then you have to comply with the U.S. global standards. And the global standards that we introduce is not just U.S. It's the entire North and South America. You see? So once you say that you want it, but the way it works in the food industry now, I can't take your house kitchen to global standards, but what I can come in and do is to start to work with you to get what we call good manufacturing practice. Let's just start with GMP, all right? Let's get some good food procedures written up, some proper SOPs. Let's start somewhere, and you will watch and see that when you start to sensitize the public that you're following some kind of stringent guidelines, you probably can get that bottom line to move more money, and then you can go to the next level. It's a gradual process. So what we can offer to persons here in the Bahamas, first of all, let's deal with the individuals who are selling these products without a label on it.
Yes.
find our office. Let's just start there. Those who need to get nutritional values on their product, get the name, get the testing done.
Okay.
We have a commitment and a relationship with Diabel Labs. Diabel Labs is one of the leading food testing labs in Florida. And Diabel Lab has the relationship with the U.S. Customs. That we can send the foods, because the U.S. Customs is not going to allow you to send your products out of this country, say you're trying to get them tested on your own. You have to go through the proper protocol. So Diabel Labs, who we work with, they have the permission from the U.S. government to be able to import your products to strictly to their lab, and they test it. So it's a step process. And I always tell Bahamians, you know, instead of just complaining and talking about it, let's just get started with something. Let's take baby steps until we get to where we need to be.
Two questions, Mr. McQueen, before we... I'm sure there are lots of questions. Is the U.S. the only option? What if I'm interested in trading with African states? What if I'm interested in...
Or the Caribbean.
And I guess it's a question attached to... Okay. A European food standard versus an American food standard.
So the European...
Are there options outside of the...
I want to interject here because the music is playing, Aaron, and I want him to answer this, right? Because I want to know if it's only U.S.-based or can it go to Europe. Yeah. But I want to give him the full time without the break cutting in. So let's go on this quick commercial break, then come back and he'll have Mr. McQueen start off with that in terms of... is it just U.S.-based, this market, or is it world-based? Or can we export to Africa and South America and Europe in general? So we'll be right back. This is On the Clock with Aaron Green. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri. I'm in the studio while Aaron is via Zoom. And we will be right back after this brief message.
News available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your app device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. This is C.A. Nuri, who's in studio, and we're talking to Ms. McQueen, who is a food standard consultant, right? A global food safety consultant. And Erin was asking a question about the marketplace, and I'll let you continue with that.
So, Erin, the way it works, as I said earlier...
One second, Mr. McQueen. Let me reiterate the question.
Okay.
And so we're in the Western Hemisphere. The bodies and the companies that you work with, they work with northern and southern continents in the Western Hemisphere. I'm not interested in selling to the U.S. or working with American systems. Are there any food and food safety and quality testing services and industries in Europe or in Africa that will enable me to get my food tested, at a HACCP certified, and able to export in markets outside of the U.S.? And do any of those jurisdictions, Europe or Africa, offer a level of testing that is American federal system?
So, Erin, the way it works, as I said earlier, and it's, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Africa, because we're going to be in Africa in May, opening up an office there. So the way the global food safety works is that SQF allows you to sell your products anywhere in the world. Because of BRC and that particular standard evolved out of Europe, most persons in that region tend to go with BRC. But it's the same standard, the same method of qualifications. You go through the same procedure. You can sell your food anywhere in the world once you become SQF certified. It's a global standard. And what the global standards are, there's the body is in the SQF is housed in Australia, but there is an individual that represents every continent on this planet that sets up these standards. So you can go anywhere in the world.
So, Erin, let me chime in there a little bit too. When I contacted Ricardo McQueen's company, one of the first things I understood, because again, I was looking at a particular standard myself, but one of the things I understood immediately was when he explained the different standards to me, just like he just reiterated, I wanted to go into Africa or Europe and I wanted to stay away from the United States, the global standard would give you that opportunity to go globally. And so if you had decided later on you wanted to go into America, you were still adhering to the same standard. And addition to that, because I had started manufacturing topical products as well as edible products, I also recognize too, because I myself were using some wild harvested ingredients. Most all of my products are made from sea moss, which I harvest locally and I harvest throughout the Caribbean. So for me, I needed to also make sure that when my products went out for testing, there was no type of bacteria or microbes like McQueen referred to. And so when I sent off my products, I think it was Brayman that called early and he was asking about organic. And so if you are saying that your product is organic, and an organic simply means it is grown without herbicides or any pesticides, and so these are what the testing facilities are looking for to be able to say this is not in your product. And so a part of getting your product locally is testing as well, sending off your products to be tested, also to have the GMP, which is the beginning standard here, especially because a lot of us, including myself, we work from home. And so in addition to getting that initial standard. When you do have a facility, then you can up your standard to another level, because now you have a facility where you are manufacturing and shipping throughout the world. The thing is here, being a daughter of the soil, I think it's important that we understand that we are making our products for the local consumption of the Bahamas. But we know the numbers. The numbers, we have 500,000 people. And so we can only take our products to a certain level. And so I think it's important for us to start somewhere. But if we want to go globally, and that includes the United States, I think we need to start to look at these standards and adhere to them and connect ourselves with the companies that can help us get to it, because it is. And however, if you do a lot of this stuff on your own and you're not connected to the right companies that can help you go globally, a lot of your work could be done in vain. And I can definitely attest to that in the beginning.
I want to say something also, Erin. The interesting thing that's happening is that Jamaica has the certification body. What does that mean? That means that facilities in the Bahamas probably would have had to go to America to get an auditor. You see, but Jamaica has a certification body. That means the powers that came all the way from across the world and went to Jamaica and spent weeks in their facility, and they were granted the license. I work for that certification body in Jamaica also. So what does that mean? Once a facility has gone through the rigorous program of implementing all of the requirements, we can just call the Jamaica and have an auditor come in. So you see what's happening? So we're here in the Bahamas thinking that everything is in America, and Jamaica now has a certification body in the Caribbean. So we got to watch what's happening. Things are moving. So you don't have to go to America and bring an auditor in. Jamaica has already gone through the rigorous process of becoming certified as a certification body. So once you call that particular agency, based on what area you're going to be involved in, if you're in dairy, there is an auditor who specializes in dairy. I have dairy as one of my specialties also. So it depends on the food. We cannot send an auditor who's never worked in dairy to audit your facility. And the way it works as auditors, we would have had to work in these food areas for 2 years as a manager. The requirement is that I had managed a facility, food and dairy, for 2 years, not just worked and in a different department or just, you know, but you would have had to manage the food safety system in dairy for 2 years before you could even qualify. I have folks in my doctoral area is in alternative health medicine. So a lot of persons who went to university with me, says, "Mom, McQueen, I didn't get the certification," because it doesn't work like that. You can have all the degrees you want. If you have not proven to the certification body that you worked in this food industry for 2 years, you're not going to get the certification as a global auditor and consultant. And the Bahamas has to understand it's right in Jamaica now. So it's coming right close to home.
So do you think, I mean, Jamaica, given it has 4 million people, do you think there's a hope that we could have our own facility one day?
I tell, every time I sit down in front of a camera or radio station, I get that question since I've been home. I think, you know, one of the things too is that it's a rigorous process, it's very costly, but we just have to have the will to do it. I know that the Bahamas is interested, so we just got to get started. We got to play catch up. All right. The Bahamas is, the world sees the Bahamas as top destination, choice destination of the world. And we have to, our standards have to, we got to now take our standards to a globalized level, because we are claiming to be the nation's or the world's number one tourist destination. Our products has to now be globalized and meet those standards.
So if Erin and I go into the local gas station and buy our Benny cake, mm-hmm. in a few months' time, that will have a label on it. Hopefully. Yeah.
Hopefully.
We would hope so. And then, you know, and one thing too is that we have some fascinating products here in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I'm working with Shea King and Haseem Owais, but I'm also working with a lady who does wine, lemongrass wine. Oh, wow. And also the sheep tongue. I have a sheep tongue client that I'll be working with. And here's the interesting thing. There's also a goat milk soap. And the interesting thing is that Walmart has already approached these persons. Wow. So you got to get outside of the box. Walmart already approached these persons wanting container of these products. So, you know, that's going to speak volume for the Bahamian people. It changes the entire culture. It changes your whole, the way. When I was in a meeting with a lot of from different regions of the world. I was from the Bahamas, of course. And they said, "Well, Queen, let's look up your country." We were looking up each other countries on the global network to see how many facilities that are in each other's country that is globally certified. There was not one that came over in the Bahamas. And I think that's really kind of, you know what, I need to go home and help my people.
So, Mr. McQueen, where do you go from here? Now, I know you're moving from the States. You're going to set up an office here in the Bahamas. I understand what the company is for. You're making access to Bahamians who want to have their labels attached and have the nutrients listed on the label, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to make things easier for those who do production. Right? But I don't know, where is your company at this present time? Do you meet with government officials? Have you already started a base here? Are you importing the machinery here now?
So we already set up our office. We are located in the Ivy Plaza on Robinson Road. Folks can call us at 603-2321. The way it works, as the president of the company, I am responsible brand. For setting the standards, for opening up new facilities all over the world. So, but within our organization, I have a food safety scientist who has a PhD in physics. I have a trainer, Dr. McPherson, who's graduated from Cornell University. She's in charge of training. So what we do is we create a model that we can take it all over the world. So the Bahamas, we're here. This is my second stop. From here, we go to Africa. But once you contact our agencies, persons here, they can get you started, and you would start to connect with persons who have been in the industry with FDA, USDA, that are well trained and educated experts in their field. Just make the call. I don't care how small you are, all right? If you care about standards and you care about your product, make the call so we can begin to help you. And I want to find, what we do is find out where you are and where you're trying to go. Some folks say, "I'm not trying to take my facility to the America, McQueen. I want to be here." You see? But let's just get started. We're here and we're open and we're ready for business.
So you do exactly what it says on your resume or on your business card. You're a consultant.
Yes.
And you give details on the next step.
Absolutely. To go. Yeah. So when you decide that, hey, McQueen, we want to take our food processing center to the next level, we want to go globally. Once you come and make that contact, then I turn you over to Dr. Shakib, who is a PhD in physics, as I said. He's going to tell you from start to finish what you need to do to get to where you need to go.
That's good. Good. But let me, as we wrap up, right, let me get the details again on where you're located, the phone numbers again, name, proper name again of the company, so people be aware.
So the company is called Food and Environment Safety Partners. And let me talk a little bit about that before we go further, because the Enviro comes in as another Bahamian.
We're right out of time. I'm so sorry. We're right out of time.
603,
and I'm a bit jealous.
2-1. Just reach us at that number.
I didn't even get to ask you about auditing robots.
Oh, it's
area.
If that's what you said,
yes.
And what does that mean? Good day. One second. What does that mean for small island developing state producers? Is it even worth it to get into this business? How can a small facility in the Bahamas compete with a facility that's being operated wholly or in part by artificial intelligence and robots?
The uniqueness of our product, Erin, and because France, how I got home to France, sent me here to check a lobster company in Grand Key, France. France is crazy over the lobster that comes from the Bahamas. We're going to advance because of the uniqueness of our product. And an individual don't need to build a billion-dollar manufacturing facility. Let's just start with GMP facilities. You could, with the GMP license, you can get in a Walmart and or Whole Foods. All right? So let's just start where you are. All right? And as you grow, then you can introduce some of these higher standards. But GMP, good manufacturing practices, is where they need to start if they don't have the resources to go to that level.
Thank you so much, Mr. McQueen. Thank you, Shay King, for the introduction. It is, you know, one of the most important conversations we are going to have. The government is pushing for to top its record of tourist year. We're looking at close to 9,000, I think, pushing for 9,000 in 2023. The entire world is out there, and a large part of it is coming to our shores to see us, and we need to be prepared to engage them. And I think this is a part of that preparation process. I'm a inward-looking person, but we got to look to the world, and this is a part of the toolkit that will help us do that. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mr. McLean.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Nuri. Thank you, Mr. Palmer. And again, thank you, Shay King, for enabling this conversation this morning. I'm sorry, we are all out of time. We've got to make a push to the next hour. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love that.